Hare Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Vyantara Bhavahai Tejasvi Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Smarta Brahmins completely reverse the instruction of the Padma Purana. Rather than always remember Krishna and thus fulfill the rules and regulations, they remember the rules and regulations and always forget Krishna. So that's the definition. Right? Okay, footnote. In Thakur Bhakti Manod's Krishna Samhita, the main indartas to devotional service are described in relation to Krishna Lila. The killing of the demons and chastising of demigods like Brahma and Indra. Of these personalities, the Yajnika Brahmas represent the anarta of Niyamagraha, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. The wives of the Yajnika Brahmanas were blessed by Krishna, whereas their husbands were not so fortunate. The Brahmanas were indifferent to Krishna and Balaram due to identifying with the Varnashram system and attachment to karmakanda activities. Following Varnashram karmakanda for their own sake have both been rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's the delicate point, is that because the point is to always remember Krishna, never forget him, right? So that means everything you're doing is meant for that. So now what are you going to do? How are you going to express this remembrance, right? Through what you do with the body, what you do with the mind, what you do with the words, right? The consciousness is there, but how is it expressed, right? If you have affection for somebody, you have that affection, but it needs to be expressed, right? So how is it expressed? It's either done physically, emotionally, or through the intelligence and the senses. Does that make sense? So depending upon the consciousness, then you have various ways of doing this. So if the consciousness is transcendental, still it has to be expressed through one of these three or all these three. Right? There's not some other process. So then the point is then the rules, I mean, so how to express that? You can express it however you like, but the problem is it's not necessarily the other person's going to understand what your, how the expression. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the guy comes up, he sees the girl, you know, coming out of her house down the street, you know, he's had a crush on her, you know, since seventh grade, you know, so, you know, now it's his opportunity, right? So he runs over, grabs his wheelbarrow, you know, that's full of cabbages, you know, and he wheels it down to the girl and he says, you know, I brought this for you. Okay, now what's she supposed to think?
He loves me.
Yeah, he loves me, right? Why? Because this is Poland and cabbages are important, right? Yes? Okay. But if we went over to Germany, then it would have to be something else, right? You know. Does that make sense? So the point is how do you understand? Because there's standard set things. Where do these standard set things come? They come originally from the spiritual world. How Krishna and his devotees interact, right? There's a science, so every science then has its natural, perfect form, its perfect manifestation. Does that make sense? So, in the mode of pure Shuddha Sattva, That is the original forms for all the emotions and various human needs of communication. So they're all there originally. Then, because that Shuddhasattva is, it's being done in a pure state directed at the Lord, so that's the most pure, right? Then sattva is pure, but it's not necessarily directed at the Lord, right? When we say sattva gun, we're talking about the activities that are engaged in the Lord's service. So technically we mean Shuddhasattva, the consciousness Shuddhasattva. What you're using is elements in the mode of goodness. Okay? Does that make sense? So then the difficulty comes up is that if the mode of goodness is used, because it's the mechanics, we understand there's the mood and there's the mechanics. So the intent is what defines whether it's bhakti or not. Mechanics are just mechanics. You know what I'm saying? You have language. Now, whether and you use the proper words, you use the appropriate grammar and all that, that's the mechanics. Now, what's your intent on saying that? That's another thing. Right? The same thing can be said in one tone of voice, an exact same word, and it be pleasant, and other exact same words, but the tone of voice is different, and then it's called sarcasm. So, but it's the same mechanics. What's the difference? The intent. So that's what makes it bhakti or not, is the intent. Right? So, because in the spiritual world, it is pure goodness, therefore the mechanics are in goodness. Does that make sense? Right? And the intent is devotion. So it's called Shuddhasattva. Or more specifically, bhakti, because the intent is more important than the mechanics. If we're saying mechanics, it's Shuddhasattva. Right? Because in the mechanics, it's not used for ourselves. But that is being done to please the Lord, that's called bhakti. Okay? So now when you have just the mechanics on their own, then what is to make sure that they work that way? In the spiritual world, it's because of bhakti, therefore they perform the activities of Shuddhasattva. Right? Means they're doing it to please Krishna, so what's the best activity? That's what they naturally perform. Now in the material world, why is anybody here doing anything?
Please Krishna.
Right? To please Krishna? Is that right?
Yeah.
Your grandmother across the road is doing everything to please Krishna.
Here.
Yeah, here. Means, you know, that blue tint in her hair, that's, you know, just to please Krishna, right? Because Krishna's blue, so my hair is blue. And, you know, yeah, like that, right?
Nice grandma.
But that's the one thing. That's always blue. Why isn't it a golden tint, you know, that Radharani or Lord Chaitanya, right? You know, like that. You know? Then you'd have the two parties of grandmas, you know, like that.
Yeah, they could be like Crips and Bloods.
Yeah, you know, like that out there with the little walkers. You know, like that, yeah. Okay.
No.
So that's not working. So the point is it's that no, one's doing it for oneself. Now the problem is depending upon what oneself the consciousness is or one's intent, you have 8,400,000 options of how to express that. Because we're not necessarily talking about human here. Right? Because even in the 400,000, then Sanatana Goswami says most, or Lord Chaitanya says most of them are uncivilized. And what's the definition of uncivilized? Prabhupada gives not following Varnashram. Right? So you just have in this world more sophisticated and less sophisticated tribals. That's all. But the more sophisticated ones think themselves superior to the less sophisticated. Right? You know, he's got a bone in his nose. He's like a tribal, right? But, you know, we just have, you know, a ring in our nose, so we're not tribals like that. You know, he puts on some, you know, they make some cuts and put some ashes in it. No, but we go down to the tattoo shop and sit in a very nice chair, and then he puts some things on our body. And therefore we're superior, right? Like that. This, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but this is what's going on. Right? Okay. So, the thing is it could be anything. So now if the purpose of the Veda is to serve God, then that means what mode should we be using? What mechanics should we be using? The mode of goodness, right? That's the best. If we're doing it for Krishna, We want the best. So that's the mode of goodness. So therefore, the scriptures define human life should be based on goodness. And what are the activities of human life? Does that make sense? But what is the purpose of human life? Krishna consciousness, right? Always remember Krishna, never forget. So then that would mean that now you know what the activities are. Now do those activities to remember Krishna. Now that's the perfect combination. So that's what Varnashram's for, right? That's what the rules and regulations for. That's what Varnashram for, is that you are offering the greatest, the best possible options of expression of that devotion through the body, mind, and words to Krishna. But since we're not trained in it, it is given to us as rules. Mother Jashodi, she doesn't have to, go overlook in the rule book. Oh, okay, yeah, here, okay. it's like that. I have some spare time. I can make ornaments for Krishna. Hey, that's great. Then she runs out. Does that make sense? Right? It's spontaneous. It's natural. Right? So now, here, lacking that, we have the rules to guide us. Now, this is the point being made. The smartas are following all that nice rules that the shastras recommend. All the activities in the mode of goodness. But it's not being done to remember Krishna. It's being done just to, the rules are what you're remembering. The rules are the all in all. So in other words, rules are being followed for rules' sake. That's what makes them a smarta. Understand? So that's the point. We're doing this yajna because you have to do it this way. Rather than, I'm doing this yajna to please Krishna. So now Krishna's he's happy with our yajna. He's come here directly personally. So I don't need to follow the ritual to offer it to Krishna. He's asking for it directly. We're hungry, can you have something to eat? So all they have to do is pick it up, walk over, and give it to Krishna. That's the ritual. Right? But they think, no, the ritual has to be performed like this. That's smarta. Right? So that's why then Rupa Goswami warns against this niyamagraha. It's an anartha. That we think that the form of expression is all that's necessary rather than the expression itself. Right? What are you expressing? If you're following the rule just to follow the rule, what are you expressing? Right? An attachment to the rule, you could say. But why would you do it? No one does anything unless there's a result. So that result is the benefits they'll get from following. So, in other words, the benefits they'll get from following is the reason they're doing it. It's not to do with Krishna. Does that make sense? Change the consciousness, it's not a smarta. Yes?
We can define people that are devotees or demons. Who could be those Brahmins then?
Okay, it means if you want to make it as distinct as that. Okay, now, it makes life easier, right? Okay, now the problem is one always has to remember is where one thing that's very distinct comes in contact with another thing that's very distinct. What's in the middle?
Gray.
Gray means you're going to get the sundi, that tatasta area. Okay, so the thing is they'll come into that area, right? Because it means you're following the activities that would be done for Krishna, but the intent's not against Krishna; it's just neutral. Right? Means the demons they're doing those activities in the mode of goodness because they'll get the benefit and they're not worried about Krishna at all. Here, they may be eventually worried about, it's offered to Vishnu.
Right?
But the problem is that they've missed the point. Right? So it's a mix of the both. So that's always what one has to see. One studies them as a completely separate aspect. So that's good for study. Right, so when you're studying things, you can put things in little boxes and do all that kind of stuff. But when you apply it, there's no such thing as little boxes. That's why the guy only gets so much and he sits in the university, because he doesn't know how to apply it. Right? He knows how to put it in boxes. So if you see somebody putting in boxes and projecting it on the board and talking to all the managers, he doesn't know what he's doing, because it won't work in the boxes. There isn't such a thing. means boxes are there so you know that, okay, there's these five different elements. Now these all applied together, it will take on its own particular manifestation. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. We always want it down to black and white, because it's easy. But the problem is then there's gray. Does that make sense? Yes.
So, if there's some rule, and you're usually following that rule, and then one time there's something that you notice that is actually, it will be for Krishna's benefit to go against that rule for some reason, should you do that?
But can you give an example?
No.
Yeah, yeah. So therefore, it's just an intellectual possibility. You understand? There's math. Just like, let's say we want to make lemon juice, okay? So we have half a liter of water, we have one lemon, and we have 2 spoons of sugar, okay? Now, mathematically, we could add 5 spoons of sugar, only have half a glass of water, and put in 10 lemons. Or we could even, just put in a drop of water, or we could just consider it's just all lemon juice, and that, or we could just fill the cup with sugar, and then just squeeze in a little bit of lemon and a drop of water. You know, kids would love it, right? You understand? So there's unlimited possibilities one can do. Therefore, if you have a problem that you actually, in application, then bring that back, and then because you can apply it. Because otherwise, for every rule, there's an exception. That's just the way it's made. Because why is it like that? Why should there be an exception for a rule?
I do have an example, but...
No. Let's get down to this principle first. Why should there be an exception for a rule?
Because there's time, place, and circumstance.
Of course there's time, place, and circumstance, but now what is the consideration of time, place, and circumstance? Why are you considering it? Why is it part of the equation?
Something else might.
Yeah, right action, the right time. What do you say?
Well, something else might please Krishna more than something else.
But so it's about the something else, or?
No, about Krishna.
Okay, so the point is if it's about Krishna, then if the rules are always absolute, that there's no exception, then that puts the rules in a very powerful position. The point is it's pleasing Krishna that's in the strong position. So therefore there's exceptions just to do that. Now, the interesting thing is who's made the exceptions.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
You understand? Who's made the exceptions? I mean, Shastra is there, it says this, but if that's not there, then you can do that. Who made that? Krishna. You understand? So those exceptions please Krishna. So therefore, there are absolute rules on how the principles function. But now you have unlimited application. Okay? Because the point is Krishna always has to be more important. Okay? Let us just give an example here, just on the practical. Okay, the guy goes to the office every day at 9, comes back at 5, right? No? Okay? You know, but why does he do it? Why is he going to the office 9 to 5?
To earn money.
And why does he need money?
Family.
To take the family. Okay? And the central feature of the family is?
Wife.
Okay. Now, so therefore, in theory, he's going to the job to please his wife. Okay? You understand the mechanics here? Okay. Now, that's good because it brings in money and it does please the wife. Okay? Now, but the thing is occasionally the wife wants to check that's actually why it's going on. That he's going to work because he's doing it to please the wife rather than going to work just because he likes the work. Okay? So what will the wife do?
Create the situation where he cannot go to work.
Yeah, create the situation not to go to work or...
Show
up at work, okay, that's extreme, okay. Well, of course, that's if he has an office and that's so the office is a desk where there's this really nice looking lady. Then she'll show up, okay, yes?
But of a situation that determines whether the job of she is more important.
That's the point. So whatever it is, it would do it. She'll call him at the work. Let's say it's a meeting, and he's been talking about this meeting and everything, and he hasn't been interacting with her like that. She might even call him at the meeting and see what the mood of his voice is. Because now, is it more important, this or that? Is he willing to lose the whole job for her? And if he is, good, great, now do the job. Right? So, you know, and men are thinking, what's going on here? This is crazy, but this is what's happening. You understand? So in other words, the exception is there just to test, to prove the rule, you know, and that that rule is to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So one should always be very, very careful, because generally the tendency is we like to find exceptions just because we can, because, you know, we either were intellectual, so that's the fun. You said this, but there is that. Aren't I so smart? You know, like that. And that, and but, or it's just because we don't like that, so of course you have to find like that. Okay, now for your exception.
So the example that I have is,
Okay. But the point is in this, is the exception is just what is the point? If the situation changes, then you apply what needs to be done to please Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So the smartest, they don't accept any exceptions, is that correct?
They accept exceptions that are given, but it's generally, they make the life pretty, you know, it's just like if you don't have honey for the Abhishek, you use gur. Those kind of exceptions aren't the problem. But the exceptions that, you know, that the, let's say, the chanting of the holy name is even more important than these other things. So when it comes down to that, if it was between, you know, a particular ritual of the kirtan, then the ritual would be more important. You know, those kind of things. In other words, it's all part of the thing, but higher ones they may not see, because higher is for pleasing the Lord. So they're specifically looking at those rules that are going to get them the pious activities to get them the material benefits. Yes.
So for neophytes, it's very difficult actually to understand Krishna's relationship with gopis, because it's a whole sin as an exception.
Yes. Or you could say that, well, that's the rule and everything else is an exception. You know, in other words, if you're part of the rasa dance, this is what you do. If you're not, then you have all this.
Because it's parakia.
Yeah. But the point is it's parakia by mood. In the actuality, they're just his energy. Prabhupada gives the example of the child, you know, playing with his reflection in the mirror. Means it's him. So his energy, him and his energy are non-different. It's just the flavor is different. You know, so there's, means the energy and the energetic are one thing, but there's a difference in flavor. You know, we're talking rasa here. So that's the point, is these interact. So actually it is swakya. But so that flavor doesn't come up, then you have the aspect that, you know, they're not married. And not only that, he's not from Vrindavan. He's from Mathura. Right? So in all aspects, you know, there's no legal ownership. Right? Does that make sense? So the parakia, there's an emotional ownership, but there's no legal ownership. Right? Swakia, there's both. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Can you say that smartas are not sampradaya? They follow, like in the, you know, gurus and all that stuff.
Yeah, basically, it's just in the Brahminical lines. It means it's coming down from. They have their gotras and that. So you can say is that the mantras, they have initiation into the Vedas. So then the mantras are alive like that. But it's not necessarily that they're alive for devotion. They're alive that they work for other purposes, material purposes, you know, karma, jnana. So their lines are the gotras there. You know, so they go back to a prajapati. There's 21 prajapatis. So they'll take their back there in Bharadwaj Shaka or Gautama Shaka or these kind of things like that. And so that's the line. Because the same principles apply. Let's say you're initiated into one line, but then to change lines is not allowed, because then it's an insult to the head of the line. Just like if you're there at the founder Acharya, you don't switch lines. You know, it's the same principle. So the Vedic principle is there, because that's from the Pancharatra, because that's from the Bhagavad. You know, if you're in one camp, you don't go to another camp. You know, it's like, okay, Krishna's dancing with Radharani tonight and her group, so we're with that group. But, you know, we've heard through the grapevine that, you know, tomorrow he's going to be with another gopi. So therefore, we want to get the mercy, right? So therefore, we'll arrange to go over and be with that gopi and all that. Does that make sense? Like, we're getting the mercy, right? You know, it's all about getting the mercy, right? So then the problem is that won't be allowed. Because the point is there's an intensity of mood. Because if I'm getting the mercy, who's it about? Who's getting the mercy? I'm getting the mercy. Not that Krishna's getting pleased. I'm up to doing the Abhishek, I'm getting the mercy. It's not that I'm pleasing Krishna. It kind of slightly. That means that there is a connection, but it's not. But unless you're conscious of it, then how is it going to work? Does that make sense? So that's why I always find it amusing, all this. I'm getting the mercy, you've got to get like that. Yeah. Yes?
What if you and another person, another devotee, disagree on, like, what pleases Krishna more, if you substitute doing something more favorable to Krishna over a rule? And then in...
No, but there's still rules applying, too. The point is it's... It's not that that smarta means I follow the rule, and not being smarta means I don't follow the rule. Following the rule, that's brahminical. Not following the rule, that's called malecha or yavana. It's that I'm following the rule to please Krishna, or I'm following the rule to please myself, or I'm doing something that's not necessarily a rule to please Krishna, or I'm doing not following to please myself. But generally, when you go into the malecha yavana category, you can leave off the pleasing Krishna part. You know, but it may be they don't know that there's a rule, right? So therefore they do whatever they think is best, so that's fine. But if there is a Vedic rule, but I'd rather do the other rule to please Krishna, then it's mixed, because then it's about myself. Because why is that rule there? Because that's normally how you please Krishna. But if it's a matter of it won't work, that's another thing. So there's a lot of dynamics here. It's not just if I follow a rule or not. It's the intent of following the rule that makes it devotional or not.
Yeah, but if you had an intent to please Krishna, but then other devotees don't see it that way, is it your intent that counts, like for Krishna? Because
it depends whose service is it, whose obligation is it. Is it yours or theirs? If it's yours, then you go with yours. If it's theirs, you let them do theirs. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You're not the cook, they're the cook. It means, of course, you have a million ideas. I remember in Calcutta, you cook lunch, you know, or breakfast, whatever it is, and there were 30 devotees. So now, after eating, there are 30 opinions about what you could have done to improve the meal.
Yeah.
Like that. Though not one of them can cook. Like that. You know, like that. So the point is, but I'm the cook. So they can have their opinions, but then, you know, it's my service, not theirs.
Yeah.
Now, if they say something valuable, I should be able to take that.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? But if I was one of those 30 devotees, then I can express my opinion, but it's still up to the cook what he's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Can we get back to the point of their lines and words? So for smartas, if they sincere and then become devotees, would it be an insult?
No, because that's the person. That's not changing gotra. Because then when they will install their pot and that, they'll use the same rituals as their line. You know, if they're staying within their position. All they've done is change that, now it's actual Vaishnav viewpoint rather than so-called Vaishnav viewpoint. Yeah. So there's no need to necessarily change what they're doing in that way, because it is correct. It's Vedic and all that, to some extent. But if they're doing something at the temple, then they do it according to that, because the rule is how a deity is installed is how you worship it. Does that make sense? Like, let's say, if the deity is installed according to Ahibhudnyaya Samhita, that's the rituals you use to worship that deity. But another deity is installed according to Padma Samhita, you use those rules to. So therefore, if we're using how we worship our deities, then even if it's smart at his house, he would do it according to his line. When he goes to the temple, he'll do it according to how it's done in that temple. Does that make sense? Right, so this is the whole point, is that varnashram. The problem is not the varnashram itself. Some will say, oh, varnashram, that's ritualistic, this, that. No, it's not. It's if it's used for Krishna, it's not. If it's not used for Krishna, it is. That's the whole point. Not that it's varnashram, that's a problem. The Prabhupada says you have to be careful. Varnashram, it's not about the rules, it's about pleasing Krishna. Oh, therefore, we don't care for varnashram. So then, how are you going to express your devotion? Because you still have to use mechanics. So what's the authority for those mechanics? Because the mechanics don't change. If you're a pure Brahmin or if you're a Malecha, the mechanics remain the same if you're going to be successful. Right? Means there's fire. Fire is there. Pot goes on the fire. Right? Does that make sense? You don't put the fire in the pot. Right? Does that make sense? It goes on the pot, goes on the fire. Then you put things in the pot. Then you stir things with a spoon. Does that make sense? That's how it works. So it doesn't matter whether you're a pure Brahmin or a Malecha. It doesn't matter. It's still the same mechanics. Does that make sense? Right? So now, that's going to remain. But now, from that, what is going to be the other aspects? Is it going to be in pure goodness? Is it going to be a goodness of passion? You know, passion, you know, how you say passion, ignorance. You have five options there. You know, and who's authorized that that's the appropriate thing for this time? You know? And it's not good enough that my mommy said. Does that make sense? But if you check, most things that a devotee does that aren't Vedic are because that's the way his mommy did it. He may or may not agree. Who cares? But that's what he's doing. No? Yeah. So that's where then the problem comes up. If we're attached to that, that's a problem. If you're just doing it because that's all that's available, that's all you know, that's fine. Because for Krishna, it's the intent that's important. But if you're attached to it and therefore oppose the Vedic, that will be an anartha. Because then you're attached to some material form. You know? So if the Brahmins being attached as a sattvic form was a mistake, then how is it being attached to something of less quality is not. Right? They're attached to the mode of goodness, so that's bad, but I'm attached to the mode of passion and ignorance, now that's fine. You understand? It doesn't work like that. Yeah? Okay. There are many traits the smartest share with the Jat Gosai. This is because the Jat Gosai lost their Vaishnava qualifications by slipping back into upper caste pride or Upadi Bhuta, acceptance of false designation, which is shunned by those on the factual Brahma Bhuta platform. Right? In other words, the smarter Brahmins are simply functioning on top of the line mundane identification. You don't get better than that, right? Within the material sphere, you don't get better than the Brahmin. And that means a practicing Brahmin. Right? Okay, you can have smartas that aren't practicing but are still attached, but that's lesser than one who is practicing. Right? So the Jat Gosai, they're coming from bona fide lines of proper Gaudiya practice. So that means they're above in the Vaishnava category. But they've dropped back down into that element of attachment to or identification with the body because it's born in that Brahmin family. Does that make sense? Because they're not Jat Gosai because they were just some guys on the side of the road, because they're Brahmins. They were the pujaris for the great personalities in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Does that make sense? So all they've done is drop back. So he's saying that's why there's many similarities. One just has the Vedic flavor about it, one has the Gaudiya flavor about it. But both of them have missed the point, because it's all about the birth, about the ritual. It's not about pleasing Krishna. The Upadi Bhuta of the Jad Gosai is their blood lineage to medieval Vaishnava Brahmana families that were somehow connected to Lord Chaitanya's movement. He uses somehow because, we'll say, if they're in, let's say they're in the Gopal Bhatta's line. But they have no connection, blood connection to Gopal Bhatta. These are just the pujaris that he arranged to worship Radharamanji. So, they're bona fide Brahmins, they're following nicely, they're picked by him, they're worshipping the deity. So, as long as that's maintained, they're not caste Goswamis, they're just the Brahmin families that worship the deity. But if they claim that just by being born in that family, you automatically have the title of Goswami, you're Uttamadikari, that so when you become of age, you'll start initiating. That's then this Smarta Brahmin. Does that make sense? Coming under Smarta influence, the descendants of these families gradually revived caste rules and taboos from the Smriti Shastras in order to assert their supported congenital superiority over other communities. Right? In other words, if you don't know the puja, you don't have the characteristics, or maybe, you know, eventually, or whatever it is, you don't really have the Brahminical thing, then they'll bring in rules from the Smarta community that are based on Vedic principles. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, if let's say Yudhishthira Maharaj. Okay? Now, as devotees, would we consider him a good king or not?
Yes.
Okay. What are his qualifications? What is outstanding qualifications?
Trustfulness.
Truthfulness. Devotion to Krishna. Right? The protection, but do we see that a lot in the pastimes? No. So we see the truthfulness and his devotion to Krishna, his proper dealings. Now, are those also not definitions of a Brahmin?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, Karna, how does he view Yudhishthira? As a Kshatriya or as a Brahmin? As a Brahmin, because he won't fight with him. Because he says he's too pure to be out here on the battlefield. So he won't fight with him. He's a Brahmin. You know, so amongst their community, and that saying that, that's an insult. Mm-hmm. But actually, in one sense, it's a praise. You know? Socially, it's an insult, but actually, it's a praise. Okay? Does that make sense? So, but now, if you think of we're talking about Kshatriya just from, you know, getting down with the boys, you know, that who of the Pandavas is, he's the Kshatriya? Bhima. Okay. Now, if the girls are looking at the picture, who's the Kshatriya? Then?
Arjuna.
Right? Okay? You understand? So if you're looking at that kind of, that suave romantic, that's Arjuna. If you're looking at just big, get out there and, you know.
Toss some elephants.
Yeah, toss some elephants around for fun, you know, like that. Then that's Bhima. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there's these characteristics that you expect to see. So the point is they don't have those characteristics. So they have to fall back on these ones that are characteristics for those who are materialistic. Does that make sense? Right? If somebody's a materialist, and let's say I'm from a Vaishya family, okay? And someone else is from a Vaishya family, but he's Vaishnava, so therefore actually he's you know, on the transcendental platform, and he's initiating devotees. Okay, for the Vaishnavas, is there a problem? No, but for that Vaishya who's a materialist, how's he going to look at it? You know, he's a Vaishya, I'm a Vaishya, but I have more money than him, so I'm a better Vaishya, so why is he a guru? If he's a guru, I can be a guru. You understand? So you cut all that by, no, only Brahmins can be gurus. You understand? And even that, they even give bodily symptoms, what they should look like, this and that. Does that make sense? Right? Then it's like, okay, he's obviously in another class, therefore he can be a guru.
But among Brahmins.
Judge
like that. Like
they'll have a little bit less, but then sometimes they do, because then he's from this gotra, that gotra, that. Like we saw that problem with Ramanujacharya's wife. Because there's four levels of Brahmanas. So they were the top level, and the guru, I think, was one or two down his line. So then when they were out, you know, getting water, and she's there with the guru's wife, then they're both bringing up the buckets of water, but then the guru's wife's bucket got higher than her. And when you go like this, they shake and water falls out. So some water fell out of the guru's wife's bucket into Ramanuja's wife's bucket, so she dropped her bucket back into the well because they considered it contaminated. So you do get that. But that's, of course, then that's also then Ramanuja warned her, don't do that, and she did it three times, so he took sannyas. It was a guru, right? You know, so it's like, so therefore she was too attached to that smarta element. You know, she wouldn't let go of it for the Vaishnava element. That makes sense. So even there, you do have, even amongst the Brahmins, they like, you know, someone's Bharadwaj chakra or this chakra or that chakra. They have their hierarchy. You know, even amongst there, just in the general thing that's very outstanding, if someone's in the Bhriguvamsa, anybody who's a descendant of Bhrigu in that line, they're just automatically the superior Brahmin. Their rituals are different, like in the Brahmachari. All the Brahmacharis do the ritual the same, but if in the same kind of way they tie, do all the things. But if you're from Bhrigu Gotra, there's a difference. So even amongst there, just to make sure, then at least you have a bottom of the line, okay, he's from Bhrigu Gotra, then we have to follow him, because I guess there's not very many. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So then, it's always done just so the materialist will accept authority. That's the point. The root is accept authority. Because the point is ultimately God's the supreme authority. Right? But the point is God's beyond those different rules and all the forms. He's a person. So God as a person is more important than the forms created by him. Does that make sense? Because the potencies and the principle, the mechanics of you know, Krishna, that's Brahman, because it's impersonal. You know, strength, power, beauty, fame, that's impersonal. But when you apply it to Krishna, then that's personal. Now, managing that mechanics, that who should be doing what and why, and if they do it, then they get elevated. If they don't do it, they get degraded. Who manages that? Paramatma. Okay? So these elements of Brahman and Paramatma, Krishna is a person, is beyond that. So that's the Vaishnava. Because the if you're dealing properly in the Vedic culture, you're dealing with Brahman and Paramatma. But the point is that it's actually being done to please Krishna. So that's Vaishnava. So it's the same things, it's just done to please Krishna. Is that the same? Yeah. So you have to create authority. You know, and that authority is personal. That's why the guru's a person. You have to actually, has to be present. Otherwise, if I can take initiation Prabhupada and he's not here, why Prabhupada? Why not Narad Muni? You know, Narad Muni's cool, right? You know, he flies around, he has his veena, just plays his veena and flies. I mean, who can do that, right? You know? I mean, of course, if it was a saxophone, that'd be even more cool. But, you know, but the point is, it's a veena, so it's good. It's okay. I can live with that, you know? Does that make sense? You know, why not him? Why not Brahma? He's the original, you know, Brahma. You know, cool, four heads, you know. How many heads did your guru have? Right, four heads, hey, you know? Like that, you know. So the point is once you cut loose of that, then it just becomes mentally speculative. It's just completely sentiment. It doesn't have any science. So there must be authority. Is that so? These things establish authority, but amongst the materialists. That's why for the devotees, we're not worried about the form of the guru, right? That what is it? I think fifth verse in the Upadeshamrita. But he's talking about, you don't worry about the physical form of the Vaishnava. Because in the Veda, it will get into big details, half a page of qualities. You know? Like that. You know, it's just... You know, says everyone, people want to get into the, no, but here it says, the Shastra says this, yeah, bring out that. Then who's qualified? Right? Because then if you want to get into that, then it's like, you know, not too much hair, not too little hair. You know, not red hair. Right? You know, it has to be black hair. So it means if it's colors other than black, they're not qualified. Right? You know, so all these different things you go into. Like that. Unless it's Kapila Muni. He can have, he's a blonde, so it's okay.
Can you dye your hair?
Probably many do. Yeah.
I'm still feeling a bit uneasy about the circumstance under which you can change the rule.
You're not changing the rule. You're just, see, the thing is you're looking at the manifestation as the rule, as the actually working principle.
Yeah.
Okay? Let us say there's a bowl of walnuts. Okay? And you pick up a walnut, looks like a decent walnut, you happen to be hungry, and so the circumstances are perfect for eating a walnut, okay? Okay, so then you look around next to the bowl of walnuts, there's no nutcracker. So now what? So nutcracker would be the natural rule. What's next? A brick, okay? Shoe, okay? Like that. In other words, be careful about picking walnuts out of a bowl if you're in, Holland or Denmark, because they use shoes to crack there like that. So you don't know what's been on those things there.
No? Beer bottles.
Spear bottles, yeah, like that, you know. You know what I'm saying? Hammers, you know, you could use hammers, like that.
Guns.
But then do you actually just hit it straight or you just nick it?
Oh, you
just
it.
Or a shotgun for the whole bowl.
That's the South of America.
Then you just go around and then you have to use the Vrindavan monkey technique to go around and pick up all the pieces. Yeah. Okay. Right? Now, the whole point is this. What's the point here? What principle are we trying to accomplish?
Eating the walnut.
Okay, but before we eat it, what do we have to do?
Open it.
Okay, so the point is you have to open the walnut. That's the principle. Now, whether I use the nutcracker, whether I use a hammer, whether I use a shoe, it doesn't matter. Another thing is that... Think of means it more gentle. If the bucket has full of haliva, right, and then you just put the walnut there and you just lean it and you just kind of push it a little bit, it'll crack it nicely without it. Yeah, but if it's empty bucket, then you kind of have to. So therefore you should have the haliva first, in the bucket, not that you eat it first.
Like it's going to be difficult concentrating on the walnut, though.
That's true, unless you want to put the walnuts in the haliva. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the anxiety about that you're not following the rule, maybe you are following the rule, it's just that the detail of application of the rule.
And all those details are listed in the Shastra, like the shoe, if you can't find them.
Definitely, most definitely, they're all listed right there. You just have to look in the right Purana, right? If you look in the Beowulf Purana, then you'll find the shoe.
But doesn't that mean that you have to know the Shastras and the rules even more than before?
Right, now you're starting to get it. In other words, if you want to expand how you can deal with the material energy, it means you must study more.
So where are all the bricks and all the buckets listed? They're not in the nectar of devotion.
Because the nectar of devotion is giving the intent of following all those Vedic rules. Right? So therefore, the basic principle is that, in other words, what's the point? There's something that can create some kind of pressure on the nut that it opens. So then you use your intelligence, because the Shastra will give you a few examples of what is there. Then you have to use your intelligence to get it done.
But where does intelligence and speculation, like that's what my concern.
No, intelligence and speculation are the same thing.
Yeah.
Like that. It means you're using your intelligence to speculate on the options. But the point is okay, let us take this. Now I want to get this walnut open, okay? Now, one, let's look at if it's boga, okay, then it has to be offered to Krishna. Or if it's prasad, it's already been offered to Krishna, so it's non-different from Krishna. So, considering that element, would the shoe be a good option?
If it's prasadam.
But if it's boga, it's okay. Okay. But if it's a new shoe.
A wooden shoe.
A wooden shoe, yeah. Now, you might have some support from Castro. I think also Brezhnev, he used a shoe.
Maybe if it's an old man's shoe rather than putting it away.
Khrushchev, okay, yeah. Got out of shoe and started banging it on the table. Now, all it is the guy next to him is just every time you stick a walnut over there. Yeah, he gets some benefit. Does this make some sense? Or? In other words, you have to use the intelligence. Speculation means that you're taking and seeing what are the various options. Remember, it was saying the intelligence. The mind then takes that facts that it gets from the senses, goes into the memory to see what are the categorizations. Once it's found a category for it, then you open that category, what are the options within it? So that's called speculation. Now, if it's being done for yourself, it's called mental speculation. But if it's being done for Krishna, that's contemplation or spiritual speculation. Right? In other words, the mechanics are the same, but it's the intent that makes the difference. Right? So when we say mental speculation, we mean following that process of intellectualizing on something to see what my options for sense gratification are, then that's given a negative connotation.
The reason I'm particularly concerned about this is because I've got a very interesting imagination sometimes.
No, that's fine, but the point is the interesting imagination, but it still should be brought in line with all the principles that are there. You have cleanliness, you have authority, you have being doing things on time, you have consideration of others, cooperation. All those things have to be added into the mix of the intellectualization. That's why in the modern they don't add those in, because then you're restricted. They feel they don't have either the experience or the intelligence to understand. They have to have this much to have some space, right? But they can't function within a smaller, that within that I can find. Because what's in the macro is in the micro. They can't catch that. So therefore, they won't introduce any restrictions. That's why in the modern, generally you introduce the art first. And then rarely, if someone's very expert, then they might give science. Right, but the Vedic is you introduce the science first, so all the field, the restrictions of the field are there. Then you can do something with it. Right. In other words, the kid goes into the garage and picks up the guitar. Okay. Now, very rarely do you ever, hear about that kid. Right. But now, if that kid went to school and actually learned music, then he went into his garage, then you might hear about him. Does that make sense? Why? Because he knows the science. Is that okay? You had something? No? Yeah. Yes.
Maharaj, recently I was asking a spiritual master why does he go away before the Vaishnava? When I saw all the spiritual masters sitting and
No, but when?
This was last week.
No, but I'm saying when you say the Vaishnava Pranam, where is this the Vaishnava Pranam? Okay.
But I was asking the question through one of his disciples, and because I was a little disturbed why the spiritual master is going away and why the other spiritual master are staying from the Vaishnava Pranam.
So the problem was the ones that stayed or the ones that went?
Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
So my question is, am I attached too much to the principle that we should stay for the Vaishnava Pranam? Or do I have the right to ask, to inquire about the guru's behavior?
Both are there, but the point is that you're taking it that there's something wrong, there may be other things to do. How many pujaris do you see at that Vaishnava prayer? All the pujaris have left. There's a good chance they didn't even finish Mangalarti. And they all left to go do their service. You know, someone's in there cooking, someone's in there, you know, making arrangements for getting the dresses, someone's, you know, making all the bathing stuff like that. Some of them are even sometimes in the deity room while the artik's going on, but you don't see them. You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of what is the service and all that. So if we decide, no, the spiritual masters have to do this, but you have to see what's the service. Also, you have to add into the equation that between the Tulsi Artik and the Vaishnava Pranam is that there's sometimes 25 minutes of announcements. And so what has that got to do with what Rupa Goswami mentioned? You know, so why don't you know, then the thing is why don't they do the one straight into the next, then after Tulsi Puja, then do the Vaishnava Pramer, then they can sit there and talk for hours over announcements. You know what I'm saying? So for many, it's that those announcements get too much. They got meetings to go to. They have people to see. This time of year, people are leaving and coming at all times. So then that's a difficult. Because I expect you mean here. Because when you say all the spiritual masters, if you go anywhere else in the world, you don't see all the spiritual masters. So therefore, it's, you know, and does that make sense? So you have to consider all the different things.
And no one would stay for announcements, Mark.
That's the point. So I mean, why not halfway through Mangal Arti? You know, okay, now we're taking a break for, you know, in between each mantra.
It'd be like commercials.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you could have like that.
Have a snack.
Yeah, modern, you know, it's up to date. You know. I think they used to do that in. No, I mean, not that. It was in the evening Arctic. It was part of the... Because back in the 70s, you get this huge crowd of these little high-class people would come to the evening Arctic. And you had all these foreign devotees. You know, you had Chutananda and this one and that. All these big kirtan people, you know, like the festival time. So they'd all come and they're very impressed how the Western devotees are there. So what they did, because so many good kirtan years were there, and just for, you know... inspiring the crowd. So they would, you know, one would start off the kirtan, right? And then they'd stop and Garga Muni would announce, you know, this devotee, where he's from, this and that, some, you know, about the person, so they'd be even more inspired. Then he would sing the first verse, right? And then they'd stop again and introduce someone else, they'd sing the next verse, you know. So each verse was like, you know, a complete kirtan in itself, you know, just like that. So it was you know, pretty amazing. But yeah. Okay, here's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes the caste guru says that Jai Krishna Tattvaveti Se Guru Hoy means that one who is not a Brahman may become a Siksha Guru or a Bhartma Pradarshika Guru, but not an initiator guru. Right? So these would be pretty standard. You always have, yes, that means, but that means that. It's always like that. According to such caste gurus, birth and family ties are considered foremost. However, the hereditary consideration is not acceptable to Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 8.1.2.8 purport, right? So here you get hereditary consideration, right? So it's therefore that's what the birth and family tie is, because it's hereditary. Right. That the Jad Goswami that the Jad Gosai are compromised by smart conceptions becomes very clear when we consider the following. There is a difference between the Smarta process and the Goswami process. According to the Smarta process, one cannot be accepted as a Brahmana unless he is born in a Brahmana family. According to the Goswami process, the Hari Bhakti Vilas and Narada Pancharatra, anyone can be a Brahman if he is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 23.105 purport. So when he says Goswami, he means the six Goswamis. Because that's what they're claiming they're coming in the line with, but they're following the siksha of. But then it becomes compromised by smarta, because then they take on the smarta rules that you have to be born in the family. Still, if the caste Goswami at least maintains his family tradition of exclusive Vishnumurti worship, he remains distinctive from the smarta Brahmana community. The Smartas, following the Mayavadi Panchopashana conception, regard Lord Vishnu as one of five forms of Brahman. Of the five, Durga, Ganesh, Surya, Shiva, and Vishnu, Bengali Smartas have always preferred goddess Durga because she supplies her devotees with material opulence. Right? So we think, oh, they're so different here than somewhere else. No, they're all Smartas. It's just a matter of which is their deity. Like you go into north, then you'll find much more of Vishnu or Ram, Narayan, Narsingha, like this. But still, they don't consider the form eternal. Right? It's a Mayavad conception that you worship a form because that's easier than not having a form. Right? But here, then you'll see it'll be predominantly Durga. So then there'll be a clash there. But if they're the community of Smartas, but they're worshipping Vishnu, they'll call themselves Vaishnavas, and they'll have no problems on one level with the devotees. You know, it'll be interesting for them. But there'll still be the Smarta rules, is that they're very much connected in that, as though, well, actually, it means you guys, you know, doing all this chanting is nice, but you should take initiation from us because we're actual, you know, Brahmins and gurus. You know, you get these kind of problems. Okay, we've gone to another point here. No,
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki
Jai
Jai Nityai Gaura Prema Guess you have the same thing with a lot of colon.
Coin Devi.
Yeah, then.
Yeah. And then we sing.
Yeah.